Hello, I'm Preston Schlankofer. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio, where we discuss all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disasters might affect you and your community. This week, we're going to be discussing coronavirus and bio-warfare with Dave, the NBC guy. Hello, Dave. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio again.
Yeah. Hi, Preston. Wow. Who knew when we first talked this was all going to happen?
Oh, man.
And, I know. When you think about it, I went back through the shows on Prepper Broadcasting Network, and we first announced it on the 13th of January.
Wow.
And if you think about it, I know that was only 2 months ago, but it seems like so much has happened in those 2 months.
Oh, yeah. It happens quickly. Yeah.
Absolutely. In this environment, it's like a rolling snowball down a hill. It's just going to keep getting momentum and go faster and faster.
Yeah, it's viruses are very contagious, and many of them. And it's part of the reason why they have been used in warfare. And so Yes. You are the resident expert on Civil Defense Radio on biological, chemical, and nuclear warfare. So before we get started, can you give us a little bit about your background for those who haven't heard your previous show that you were on? And we discussed a little bit about your background there. But you just give us a quick update?
Yeah, well, you get to be the NBC guy by 24 years in the U.S. Army nuclear, biological, chemical warfare field. And then when 9/11 happened, I had already been retired 6 months. And 6 months after 9/11, orders were dropped on my doorstep saying, report. And I spent the next 22 continuous months in the Middle East, traveling to 16 different countries as a chemical weapons expert for U.S. CENTCOM Joint Security Directorate. And in my civilian capacity, I've been an emergency manager for Pennsylvania Emergency Management, NASA Emergency Management, and the Nuclear Strike Command, the Global Strike Command in Barksdale, Louisiana for the Air Force Global Strike Command. Gosh, getting all tongue-tied here.
Yeah.
And for the past 8 years, I've been with the Department of Homeland Security at a little place called Mount Weather and doing emergency management there for the Department of Homeland Security. I retired last February, so I've been retired 1 year now. And boy, I'm the busiest retired guy I ever met.
It's that way. When you retire, Yeah. You find so many things that you never had time for before.
And, that's true.
I mean, time goes fast.
It does. I can't believe I've been retired a year, but done a lot of projects around the house. I have a radio show on Prepper Broadcasting Network. So if any of your listeners are interested in podcasts, which I assume they are, and
I hope
Prepper
they are.
Broadcasting Network. Hey, something that we did 2 weeks ago was we opened up what we call the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center. And it's a Discord server section. Now, you can find it on Prepper Broadcasting Network, and we post all the news articles and things that we see as hosts. And it's a community where people can chat, share information. We have people from all over the world on there right now telling us what the situation is in their local area. So
hey,
if you want to know more about what's going on, go into Prepper Broadcasting Network and the EOC.
So that's broadcastingnetwork.com or .net?
It's prepperbroadcasting.com.
Okay.
And then you can find it on their homepage there.
All
and
right.
It will give you a link. And then basically you just put in, you know, log in, get credentials, and then you can see what we're sharing and all the information There's people on there chatting right now about sharing supplies, and I mean, it's a whole community.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great.
Yeah. Something we invented. Well, one of our listeners came up with a suggestion and I said, well, I know that James, he's the, commander of Prepper Broadcasting Network, we're calling that as out of a joke, but, he was going to the rally, the Second Amendment rally in Richmond.
Uh-huh.
And this was a way to get real-time intelligence for him in case something happened bad, he could get out of there. So we activated it for the first time and tested it out. And lo and behold, the coronavirus came along right after that.
Yeah.
And we reactivated it about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you can actually go back and see progression. We've put past reports, you know, so you can see the progression of the disease and all kinds of news articles and things like that.
Okay, cool. You know, you mentioned that you were tracking this since January.
Yes.
There was a report that came out, I think, yesterday that that the Chinese have tracked it back to November 6th, I think it is.
Wow.
November 6th. That's as far back as they track it. But, you know, we had episode 42 and 40 and 42 recorded in September for this show with our friend Drew Bumbeck. And the episode 42 was about pandemic influenza. And then the follow-up was emerging and re-emerging diseases, also recorded in September. And little did we know, here we have this pandemic influenza hit the country in December, January. You know, so we were also ahead of the curve on this. And so, you know, it's you never know. You never know what is going to pop up. And actually, you know, this threat, I didn't see much of it until it started building. I still think that it's overhyped, but it is a strain that is very dangerous, and people should be aware of it. But I don't believe that we should be going into lockdown and all this stuff that we're seeing in the nation today. So, with your vast experience in the nuclear, biological, chemical field of the military, you know, just let everybody know, you know, I spent 12 years in NBC Defense Company, where we had NBC Reconnaissance, NBC Decontamination, and a smoke platoon. So I'm familiar with this as well, but I've been out of the military for 20 years now, so I haven't even looked back at my old NBC stuff, and I've forgotten so much. But you are the resident expert. You outrank me, and please go ahead and give us some background on this stuff that you see from your perspective.
Well, sure. And what got it up on my radar was the first reports of a new pneumonia that they had never seen before. And now, if anybody has been to my talks or bought my DVDs, you know that a pandemic is the thing that keeps me up at night. So we're living the thing that I worry about most right now. So I started watching it, and you had to watch what China did and not what China said.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they built a hospital in like 7 to 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why do you
beds,
do that?
Right?
Because you have to do that.
Exactly.
So, and when they put dump load trucks of dirt on the highways to keep people from traveling from city to city, you quarantine entire city. Millions of people were on lockdown. And why do you do that? because you have to do it.
Right.
So all of those things put it on our radar as this is no joke. Now, if you look at Italy and what Italy is going through right now, Italy is about the same size as California, size and population. Okay. You know, a few million people off, but it would be a good comparison.
Okay.
So what's going on in Italy right now will transpire in California in about 4 weeks or less. I haven't checked the numbers lately, but four weeks or less.
There was a chart that I looked at over the weekend, and they had this graph where they had Italy, France, Germany, and another country I can't remember. But they said that, you know, it went along pretty smoothly, and then it had a real hard spike upwards. And
Yes. They
said that France and Germany were about a week, eight days to a week. Well, that is a week, 8 days,
right.
8 to 10 days behind Italy. And then Yes. We were just a little bit farther away from hitting our spike. But
right.
I think with the moves that the president did recently, that will probably delay that spike, if not arrest it dramatically, don't you think?
Well, we need to slow down the spread of this. And it's so contagious that I don't harbor any idea that my whole family will not get it. Okay, we will. It's just that contagious.
Mm-hmm.
The only people in the country that won't are those people that come into town like once a month for groceries or supplies, you know, and they live in the hinterlands. So I'm projecting at least 60% of the country will get it, 60 to 80%. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to do is spread that out as far as possible. A lot of people think that the summer months will be less severe. The verdict's not in on that, because there's cases in Australia and New Zealand and Singapore, which have hotter temperatures than we have and more humidity, and their progression hasn't slowed down, you know, detectably.
Right.
So the summer months may not be, you know, like the flu goes away in the summer. You just don't get flu in the summer.
Right.
This thing is not the flu. So it most likely will continue whatever progression it's going to go through the population. And if we see anything that limits it, it will be small. And it won't necessarily be because of the heat, but more, we'll be getting more sunlight. So ultraviolet light kills the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting packages and mail and you're worried about it, leave it out in bright sunlight, you know, for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
It kills it. I try to get people to think outside the box, you know, how to decontaminate. Like if you have a hand steamer, produces 120 degree heat, so you can steam clothing and things that you're not sure of, and then let them out and dry, okay? But it kills the virus.
Okay.
You know, I hesitate to say this, but microwaves will kill it too. So, yeah, I know. I can see someone putting a package in a microwave and then catches on fire. But, of course, chlorine, Clorox, you know, a water solution of Clorox to sterilize things. You can get all this information on the website, how much each product has a different percent of sodium hypochlorite. That's chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to look and see what the content is for the product that you're using. You know, dollar store bleach is different from Clorox.
Yeah.
And if you look and see the active ingredient, it'll say something like 12% sodium hypochlorite. Okay, so that's 12%. And then you mix the appropriate amount of water. don't use straight Clorox on things.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, especially your skin.
Especially your skin. It's poisonous. So definitely don't drink it or gargle.
Right.
Okay.
It will burn you.
Yes, it's highly corrosive. So think about that before you start spraying it on everything. Alcohol, okay. Some people are saying 60% solution of alcohol. I say go for the 70 just in case.
Right.
And
it's not,
if you look at hand sanitizer, mm-hmm. that is the active ingredient in hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're freaked out because there's no hand sanitizer, go to the alcohol aisle. Get some alcohol, put it in a spray bottle. It's hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Yeah, just without the gel. Yeah.
Exactly.
But you gotta put it on there in liberal amounts and let it stay there for a while to kill the virus. It just, you know, a quick wipe is not going to do it. You have to saturate your hands and let it, you know, work it in and then let them air dry. That way.
And another good thing, regular soap breaks down the regular soap. It's made with fatty material, and that breaks down the shell of the virus. So regular soap, any kind of hand soap, wash for 20 minutes. And everybody's talking about hand washing because the hands are the primary way you get contamination.
Right.
It's primary.
Yeah.
Mouth and eyes and other things are secondary. So if you keep your hands clean, you know, don't use public bathrooms if you can help it. It's been found in urine and feces.
Oh, it has.
So when you flush the toilet or the urinal, it aerosolizes. So if you can stay away from public bathrooms, that's the best way.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were asking me about bioweapons, whether this was a bioweapon or not, and I'm telling
there's
you,
a lot of speculation out there on the world wide web about that.
Well, and my wife, about every 2 or 3 days, she comes out with something she found on Facebook that was manufactured in a lab, and I say, honey, at this point, what does it matter? We, like you and me, are not going to be able to do anything about it anyways. Yeah. We just have to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, the president says that he knows where it came from. So, in his address to the nation when he declared a state of emergency, he said, we know where it came from. So that tells me, you know, whatever the truth is, he knows it. So it doesn't matter. Like you said, it doesn't matter because we have to deal with the aftermath of whatever it is. And so, that's the current situation. That's what we have to worry about. And we shouldn't speculate or get upset about something that we have no control over.
Exactly. Don't waste the brain matter on that. don't occupy your mind with that because it'll make you miss the next important thing that you need to pay attention to.
Well, just to interject, when I was in my position as a platoon sergeant with the NBC Defense Company, I was a recon platoon sergeant and, we did our missions and, did our NBC reconnaissance. And then, later on when I was the platoon sergeant for one of the decon platoons, all throughout my tenure there, we always practiced decontamination because that was our job. We had to practice on each other, each other's units or platoons. Everybody went through the process. Well, the process was hot, soapy water. Didn't matter what it was, nuclear, biological, or chemical, hot, soapy water is what we used.
Yeah, hot, soapy water and lots of it.
Yeah, lots of water available and we had heaters on our 5 tons that heated the water up, and it looked like fire hose coming out. And, that heater made real nice showers when we weren't on out in the field, you know, when we were our hooch area, you might say, we made showers out of them. But that's what we used, hot soapy water. And that's what people should be doing right now with this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. That's the number one standard decontaminant, especially for this. So some things that your listeners can feel good about, okay? So first of all, calm down, relax. Don't go run out and buy a bunch of toilet paper, which I don't know what the it's like one person buys toilet paper and a million people buy toilet paper. So China did not lose power the whole time they went through this. So chances are we will not lose power.
Right.
Okay. The worst that will happen is you have to stay in your home for at least 2 weeks. Okay. If the verdict's still out on what's going to happen here in the United States.
Right.
But expect to be isolated in your house for a period of time.
Right.
You know, and if you're ready for that, don't worry about the rest. The only thing you have to worry about is personal contact with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can stay away from other people long enough, you're in great shape. And then when you go out, assume that everything is contaminated, everything and everybody. So take the proper precautions when you get back, you know, do the decon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we go out, we put masks on, we put gloves on, we have glasses. So, and when we come back to the car, we sanitize all those things before we get in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get home, we're going to, you know, take off our outer clothes, put them in a bag and take them right to the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just precaution. I'm 63 and my wife has breathing problems.
Mm.
So yes, we, like I said, we want to push this off as long as possible so that maybe they can get a good treatment. You know, maybe they can, you know, if we can push it off for a year, maybe they can get a vaccine.
Yeah. Let's talk real briefly about biological warfare, how, you know, how that takes place so that people understand that aspect of it, because that's something that isn't covered very often in too many shows that I've run across anyways. And it'd be the first time we would talk about it on this show.
Yeah. Well, we've eradicated smallpox. So the only place smallpox exists right now is in laboratories, and it would be a great biological weapon. So if someone bad, if one of the bad actors got a hold of smallpox, this is the way they would do it. Put it in the five major cities of the United States, five most populous, and spread it around. The vector, the thing that would be carrying it, would be a person.
Right.
So this person would go to train stations, airports, you know, every place where there's a large concentration of people, and try and contaminate as many people, spread the contamination as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason this hasn't happened already is it's far more palatable for terrorists to go Allah Akbar and blow themselves up than it is for someone to spread a disease, fall over sick, you know, do the convulsions,
right,
and maybe get transported to the hospital and saved,
right?
You know, so it's not as, I mean, it would be far more deadly than one bomb attack,
right?
But it's not as palatable.
Yeah.
And as for city states, you know, like China and Russia, everybody has biological research labs. All large governments are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it under the guise of, well, we have to develop a defense.
Right.
Well, okay, in the process of developing a defense, you're developing bioweapons. And it's far more easier now than it has ever been with gene splicing and CRISPR and things like that. There was a Canadian, two Canadian researchers, and they wanted to see that if they could set a lab up and how much it would cost and do this. And they did horse pox. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now it's a close cousin to smallpox. And they ordered a splice of DNA from all these different labs, just enough that they didn't set off any alarm bells. Their whole lab cost $150,000. And they recombined this DNA and made horsepox in a laboratory. Now, that's not the bad part. The bad part is they released their findings and how they did it onto the internet.
So everybody has it now.
So everybody has access to this information. And they did it saying, well, everybody can do this research, so we have more people looking for cures. And that's a bunch of crap. That's a bunch of crap. If I put on the internet how to make a very explosive bomb, okay?
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's only so that people know how to disarm it. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very, very easy to come up with biological warfare weapons. This thing, you know, there's pros and cons. Mm-hmm. It goes back and forth. It's odd that it actually, the outbreak was where their bio lab was. Mm-hmm. It could have been anywhere. They have these wet markets all over China.
Right.
Okay. It's just highly suspect.
Yeah.
Another thing, they provided the United States the genome very quickly. It's almost like they had this thing ready to go and transmit. Okay.
Is that funny
or
what?
It struck me as strange.
Yeah.
Another thing, they knew what the outcome was going to be before this thing had even run its course.
Oh, wow.
Okay. They started working on quarantining and isolating and really, really extreme measures. It's almost like they knew what the outcome was going to be if they didn't do this. So those are the strange things.
Well, there's a lot of strange things coming out of that communist country. And you know, you can only believe part of what you hear and suspect the rest, because that's who they are. It's like listening to North Korea or the Soviet Union, you know, back when they were the Soviets. Now they're Russians, and I don't know if I believe even twice as much as I believed before. So it's just the way it is.
And Iran.
Oh yeah, them too.
They got way more cases than they're reporting, and way more deaths.
Well, you know, that's a funny development there, because that shows that they've been working with the Chinese very closely on their nuclear program for one of their ministers to die from the virus. He had to have been exposed quickly, and he would have had that thing for a while, and so it tells me that they either those people were in China messing around, or there were fresh Chinese scientists that were in Iran.
Moving so back and forth.
Yeah. So I suspect that maybe Iran is developing some type of bio program right now, and I think that may be part of the thing that we don't want to know about.
Yep. Yeah. Well, are we going to close it?
Yes. All right. Dave, thanks, man. This has been a great conversation, and I thank you for being on the show. Civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic, in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with a guide found on our resources page of our website at civildefenseradio.com. You can find our podcast there as well. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio and on Twitter at civil_def_radio, where we post on a regular basis the threats that we see to our safety and security as a nation. I wish to thank our guest, Dave, the NBC guy, again, and thank you, our friends and listeners, who are with us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you being with us this week, so please be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.